And we are live for the 157th episode of the Bronx Bomber Battle Podcast, presented to you by Six Pack Coverage. I'm your host, Matt Lesluigi, and tonight it's Andrew and I. And Andrew, this is a pretty fucking good podcast, I think.
I thought you were gonna ask how I was doing. I'm doing pretty fucking good tonight.
I'm pretty proud of our host. I'm pretty proud of our operation. I mean, we have other podcasts trying to poach our hosts. You know, it's kind of crazy. we have nothing to like substantial to show, but we're just gonna like stand here 10 toes down posture. Anyways, if you're listening to this podcast, you've probably heard the recent Brian Cashman and Hal Steinbrenner quotes and kind of interviews. More importantly, Brian Cashman, the Hal. I didn't get much out of the Hal presser, other than the whole Judge and I quote that we could go into a bit of that later. But I mean, mostly we're here tonight to talk about Brian Cashman, what he had to say about the team. It was about a 20-minute interview, and man, the whole pretty fucking good quote was the big kind of headline, the, you know, what everyone took out of it. And yeah, I mean, look, we just start right there, because it's the most important quote. And there's a lot of things that he said that we're going to get into in terms of, you know, he went back and forth with reporters about trades and about, you know, the whole Joey Gallo. Well, if Joey Gallo was so bad, then he went to other playoff teams. You know, a lot of stuff he said that we could dissect and get into. But the biggest thing really comes down to him just after an 82-80 season, the Yankees' worst season in 30 years, to say we're pretty fucking good. I mean, that it's just like, it's actually insane. It's actually insane to, you know, to be that vindictive, to be that, like I said, 10 toes down, and to just, you know, you miss the playoffs by 7 games, and yeah, you're going to, oh, like, I'm pretty proud of our operation, of how great our operation. It sounded like someone who knows, you know, he's not getting fired. It sounds like someone who has a lifetime job as the Yankees GM. And
yeah, the way I took it is that it's the first time in at least, you know, 7-8 years since they last missed the playoffs, right? It's really 7 years exactly. Go back to 2016. But it's the first time in close to a decade where he's felt any heat. He's felt like he hasn't at least been able to get the team to the playoffs, and then he can use the playoffs for crap shoot. We were hurt, all those other excuses. He didn't even have that excuse, because they did not make the playoffs. And not only did they not make the playoffs, they had their worst regular season in 30 years. So it seems like, to me, a guy who is really feeling the heat, not to the point where he thinks he's going to get fired, but he's feeling criticism and he's hearing the voices in a way he hasn't for, you know, decades, right? And he just didn't know how to handle it, right? Like, how dare they question me? I've been the GM for 20 years. I know what I'm doing. I've won a World Series. We've made three or four ALCSs in that time, right? Like, we've won 100 games a couple of times. How dare you, the plebs, the fans, question me, Brian Cashman?
The peasants.
And it wasn't, and look, we talked about, you know, we've used the term gaslighting a bunch, but this interview, more than anything else, was just insulting, right? The fact that he defiantly stood his ground, dug his heels in on their process, their player development, their scouting, their use of analytics, and tried to convince us that they know what they're doing and that it's working and that they're a good organization. Meanwhile, the results simply aren't there. They lost in 4 games in the American League Championship Series last year. They did not make the playoffs this year, barely cleared 500. And with a bunch of older long-term contracts on the book, I should say older players, you know, big money long-term contracts, there's not a ton of financial flexibility. Now, they should still be able to spend. This isn't a teeming market outside of a guy like Yamamoto or Otani. But I just don't have a lot of confidence in this organization, because they seem so sure that they know what they're doing, that their way is right, even though the results paint a completely different picture.
Yeah, it's just, like I said, to say we're pretty fucking good and to go 80, you went 82-80. And then, like you say that, and they're like, oh, well, we need this and this and this. And it's like, well, if you're pretty good, shouldn't you not need that much? Like, well, why do we need all these things if we're so great? And man, it, like, some of the, like, even like he got in like a weird debate about someone, about Peraza, about, like, someone was like, oh, well, Peraza, we don't know what to do with him. And then he was saying, well, if Peraza was hitting, then he couldn't get in because Donaldson was at third. And it's like, dude, well, you were just talking about how bad our offense was, and that was the reason that one of the biggest reason we didn't succeed last year. It's crazy. And another thing, and this is something we've talked about in this pod a lot, was how last year said it set years, right? It was just so fluky. They exceeded expectations like tenfold, and it set unrealistic expectations. And you know, Cashman had a quote in that presser where he's like, oh, well, people who are criticizing us now or were criticizing us over the summer 6 months prior were like praising us. And it's like, even okay, let's say
no, we weren't.
let's say six months prior, not even, because obviously 6 months prior from the summer would be January. Let's say six baseball months prior, right? Like last July. It's like, dude, you were a 500 baseball team in the second half of last year. And then you got swept in the playoffs. So like, you just think of it. You went 3-6 in the postseason last year. You went 3-2 in the ALDS, and then you went 0-4. So it's like, if you include that, like, you've been a barely not even 500 baseball team for the last season and a half. It's not just like, oh, this was like unexpected. It's like, dude, look at last year. You guys went like that, and then you kind of just plateaued and continued that this year. That's all that happened. So him just saying like, oh, this was so surprising on paper. And the hip, a guy.
They still use the injuries as excuses.
He started off with that. The first, he just kept mentioning injuries. Like, oh, well, the injuries. And he mentioned, like, when he mentioned the injuries, he mentions Judge, right? He's like, oh, well, Judge running into the wall for 2 months. And then he just does a pause, right? Just does like a pause. And it's like, it almost just proved, like, yeah, dude, there was no other, like, super significant injury offensively that hindered this team. And he goes, oh, well, Nestor. And I'm like, dude, the Yankees, the pitching was fine. He's like, oh, well, Rodon.
You're never going to get a season from Garrett Cole again like you had last year.
He mentions Rodon, Nestor, and Seve not being right. I'm like, look, you still had guys come in. I mean, Clark Schmidt was better than expected. You're pitching. You had the best bullpen ERA. The pitching was not the problem. It was the hitting. Your only significant hitting injury you had was Judge. And then he mentions, right, like, oh, well, Donaldson and Stanton. And I don't want to keep rambling, but him saying DJ LeMahieu, he's like, oh, well, DJ not being
foot injury out for 2 months.
And he goes, well, him being at that perennial MVP level, like, and I'm like, dude, he hasn't been at that since 2020.
Yeah.
That's been 3 years since you're that perennial MVP level. Like, what are you talking? He's been mid for 3 years now, man. What are you talking about?
Was he good with the last 3 or 4 months of last season? Yeah, and you hope,
like,
to get that
five
kind of production.
MVP level? Like,
can we stop talking about him like he's a superstar at this point in his career? And look, you mentioned it, that the pitching was fine. And I think, what's the stat you always like to use on this podcast? Last year was the eighth lowest OPS in franchise history in like 100 years, the 100, whatever it is, 20 years, the franchise, the eighth lowest OPS they had as a team. How does that not scream it? Like, jump off the page and red flag right here. We can't hit, can't fucking hit. Dude, things aren't fine. You're not a pretty good organization. You have gaping deficiencies that need to be addressed. And based on the tone of this interview, the way he defended the use of analytics, Mike Fishman, his department, their pro scouting, the way they were teaching hitting in the minor leagues, even though Ben Ruta had that whole, he threw Ben Ruta under the bus too as part of that interview. Just like, clearly things aren't working, and stop lying to us, because it's not just the fan, the Yankee fans that are laughing at you. It's the rest of the league. Other GMs are laughing at you too. And as a Yankee fan, it's kind of like I'm embarrassed to be a fan of this team right now, because everyone knows that we keep preaching a losing mentality, a losing philosophy, defiant that it's correct and that we're smarter than everyone else when the results say otherwise.
Yeah, and look, I get that the goal is to win as many games as possible. And to an extent, like, I almost want to ban the expression the playoffs are a crapshoot on this pod, because it's just so frustrating. But like, I understand, whatever. It's the him calling it a successful operation, where it's like, look, man, this organization's standard is championships. Like, you can't just set, like, there has to be another phrase you use to describe you guys consistently making the playoffs and winning over the past decade or so, but not making a championship, not making a World Series. Like, you can't call it successful. You know, like, successful would be winning a championship. And, like, you haven't done that in 15
years.
Or even
getting to one World Series.
Or even winning a pennant. So, really, like, him just saying, like, oh, like him talking, like, oh, like, we've had, like, the way he talks about seasons where your team gets swept, got swept in the ALCS, or, like, you know, went out, like, flailing their bats. And you talk about, like, oh, like, another successful season. We have guys trying to poach our scouting guys. And it's like, dude, like, that happens in every league and every team. Like, oh, the Bears offensive coordinator went to the Falcons, or, oh, the coach of this team went to, like, that literally happens in every league. Like, how many shitty coaches do you see get hired, like, four times? Like, oh, wow, this team just hired this shit. Like, once you're a pro coach or a pro bench coach in the league, like, you're just you're like grandfathered in for like whatever other team. Like,
dude,
that
happened. It literally happened. Like, it literally happened in the last few days.
Yeah.
Look at the Mendoza hire, right? Like, they're probably like, look how good our coaching staff was that our bench coach got poached by the Mets to be their new manager. We're so good. We have the best people in house. Everyone else wants our people. And you look at the tone of Mets fans, they're like, that's the fucking guy we hired, really? And look, like, I hope he does well for them, right? Like, I don't want to see anyone who is at any point in time in the Yankees organization, player, coach, otherwise, go somewhere else and fail. Right? We could talk about Kim Ang getting canned or walking away from the Marlins, even though she took over as GM, first female GM in Major League history, took them to the playoffs for like the fourth time in their franchise's history, and then had differences with the owners, right? Like, I don't want to see people fail when they go to different teams. But it's crazy, man, how they just have no idea. That's such like a generic, they don't know what they're talking about. But man, the Peraza thing, they're worried about finding him playing time, but then they defended Josh Donaldson being hurt. And then, like, they tried to convince us before last year, if you don't think he still has MVP play in his bat, you're crazy. Well, who's crazy now, dude? Like,
yeah. Like, I
don't know how you can look at this offseason and feel good.
Yeah, the way they talk about Donaldson, like, oh, well, Donaldson didn't work out. Like, it's like, dude, everyone knew that. Everyone knew after last year.
$50 million to learn that lesson?
Not even, okay, doing that at the time, fine. Like, let's see how it works out. But after the first year, everyone knew that he was trashed. Everyone knew he was washed. Everyone. And you guys still brought him back and were like, oh, like, you idiots don't think he's going to be good. And we're like, no one thought he was going to be good. And he wasn't. And you're like, oh, well, shucks. Like, what are you going to do? Like, well, if you guys would have used your eyes, and this guy was what, like, one of 16 in the AL, he didn't have a single RBI in the postseason. Like, I don't know. Like, good segue. Obviously, the two stats judge wanted the Yankees to focus on more batting average and RBIs. I mean, RBIs are kind of like, you know, I feel like if you worry about batting average, the RBIs will come because the more guys on base, you know, on and on. So, like, I feel like
hitting, the runs will come in. Yeah.
Right. But, yeah, like, it's, you know, it's something like, remember we were saying on the free agent pod how, like, a lot of these guys who were hitting, you know, hit 270 or two, I'm like, wow, that would be like, you would be the best average guy in the Yankees. Like, that's where we're at. So, yeah, look, the thing about the Cashman presser was, I think people like us who, not even like, I wouldn't even call us like pessimistic Yankee fans at this point, just like realist Yankee fans, we knew Cashman felt like that. Like, we knew Cashman, like, that's how he viewed the fans. Like, he just stuck his nose up at all of us. Like, we
of
knew
course,
all that.
None of that interview was but a surprise. Nothing he said.
Just hearing it, like, hearing it and seeing it, it really just kind of made you like, wow, it really, like, sobered you up and just, like, damn, we're fucked. Like, we really are fucked. Like, it's, like, I remember I said in the last spot, I really think there's a chance this team is just so bad. And the shitty thing is, like, when a GM comes out like that and is almost like, you're like, dude, like, you're literally making me want to, like, root against you. But I can't root against you because you're rooting against the Yankees. But, like, really, because, like, if they come out next year and they're just terrible, like, they are, like, you know, bottom five team in baseball bad, then what? Then it's just going to be the next, so it's like, oh, well, huh, another unexpected season. Like, we're, like, I can't believe that, I don't even have the heart to think of a name. Like, I can't believe Jurickson Profar didn't hit, like, 25 home runs for us. Like, this is crazy. Like, oh my, like, I can't believe Austin Wells was hitting 120 in the middle of June. Like, I can. Like, I can, man. Like,
sure.
God. It's
yeah, it's wild. Like, I, you know, call it my own ignorance, call it me trying to see a little light at the end of the tunnel, but I kind of really was hoping that there would be that come to Jesus moment, right? That day of reckoning where they kind of look themselves in the mirror and were like, you know what? Maybe we were wrong all along. Maybe we need to reevaluate some things. And then they come out and they say, oh, we're going to do an internal audit, which of course was a total sham. Oh, we're going to, you know, Hal Steinbrenner had the quote in the middle of the year that if we don't make the playoffs, we're going to have some hard conversations at the end of the year. Boone's back, Cashman's back. Clearly, what the hell was the point of all that? Like, I wanted to believe that there would be a moment where they had a realization that things need to change. And this just confirmed everything the interview this week just confirmed everything we've been saying on this podcast for the last 18 months, 2-3 years. At this point, I don't even know, just that they're very unserious about making substantial change. It's the Yankee way. It's the way the franchise has operated for the last 30, 40 years, or at least since the boss died, right? The more tempered Yankee way is no longer big and brash and spend all the money and fire people and be loud and obnoxious. It's just, well, we have a level temperament. We're going to spend the money. We're not going to be obnoxious in anyone's face, and we're going to win. At a certain point, it's not working. Something's got to change. I'm not saying go out and start firing coaches every year. I'm not saying spend $350 million on payroll. But whatever they have internally that they're convinced is the secret sauce to winning baseball games, it's not there. you got to try something new. And to me, you know, they talked about, oh, maybe we're going to do more bunting next year.
I get
the league is a copycat league, but the Yankees seem to be on a trajectory right now where anytime they do make some kind of change, they're just doing something that Cleveland or Tampa or the Dodgers did 2-3 years ago. And then by the time they catch up, those teams have pivoted to something different, and they're always behind the eight ball.
Yeah, like that. It's like, I think the quote that was just so funny, I think it was Hal. He was like, oh, well, we're going to make changes that maybe the fans don't think are major changes, but they are. And I'm like, oh, whoa. Like, what a way to spin that one. Like, oh, I know you guys don't think this guy that we signed for 3 years, $9 million is sniffing it, but trust us. Oh, he's a bit, look, it's.
We're going to use a different software for our analytics. Yeah, it's going to change the game. You're not even going to know it, but believe me, it's going to make an impact. Shut up. No, it's
like,
not.
Our big change is we're going to bunt more. And it's like, yeah, man, like Stanton's going to get down bunts. Like, it's going to be great. What can you say? Like, there's really, like I said, that interview, that just kind of left you speechless. It just kind of left you speechless. Like I said, we kind of knew all these things. Like, yeah, we knew that Cashman was just going to, you know, deep down inside, just defended all his moves and still thought he was just such a genius. And like, oh, yeah, I'm, you know, we're the Yankees. We're the successful operation. I'm proud of these guys. Like, wow, look at my guys, like, who just – like managed to have like a top three payroll team finish 82-80, like a team that literally didn't reach their win total by 12 games. Like, that's, yeah, you're so proud of this. Like, I really don't want to go too long tonight because, like I said, there's really not much you could say. It's like, what can you even expect this off season? Like, maybe they get one or two guys, but it's just, this team is so far away. And
yeah, and even if they don't spend a lot on free agents, their success with trades has not been good. And I know, I think, yeah, it was Heyman brought up the Gallows and the Sonny Grays of it all, but you know what else the Yankees went out and did the last few years? They acquired 4 regular starters on the Texas Rangers team that 2 years ago lost 100 games, took them off that roster, and the Rangers replaced them with higher end talent and, oh yeah, won the World Series for the first time in franchise history this year without Rougned Odor and Joey Gallo and Isaiah Kiner-Falefa and who else? Willie Calhoun was on those teams too. Just like, what are we doing, man?
I mean, just we could like talk about the you know, like don't have to like dive deep into the World Series or the playoffs, but you know, and look, this is something I wanted to bring up. And look, none of us were big Gumby guys, right? When Gumby got traded, we weren't like, oh my God, what are they doing? I get it. However, we are not the GM of the Yankees. And Cashman had the famous quote that got brought up many times at playoff run that, oh, he did not think Gumby was a postseason pitcher. And then we all saw Gumby shut down the Astros.
Well, let me specify.
Postseason. And I get it, but this is just another misevaluation of talent.
Yeah.
It's been constant over the last few years. Like, how many times are you going to misevaluate talent and say, oh, I don't think this guy's that good? And it's just like, well, this dude just threw seven shutouts against the Astros in the AFCS.
Yeah. Look, to their credit, the quote wasn't that he didn't think Gumby could perform in the playoffs. It's that he was already boxed out because of the guys they had above him in their internal
pipeline,
right? It was Cole and Cortez and Severino and Frankie Montas. You didn't need Montgomery as a fifth starter because you don't use a fifth starter in the playoffs. The fact that he's gone on to pitch really well with St. Louis and Texas the last 2 years looks bad, no doubt. But the philosophy of that move was, hey, we need an athletic center fielder. And Bader, we don't win the American League Division Series without Bader last year. So, like, in the short term, that trade worked. But yeah, in hindsight, obviously, Montgomery was awesome. But again, we've talked about it. Pitching wasn't the problem this year. I would have loved to have Montgomery on the Yankees this year. Do they make the playoffs with him? Fuck no.
No, absolutely. But another Cashman special was Bryce Harper playing first base. That's another one where you're just looking at like where's the quote? Like, someone grabbed the quote of, well, that's not an option. Bryce Harper playing first base. And it's like, look, could you have, like, all right, you couldn't have foreseen him having Tommy John. But the point is, he was playing first base. And yes, the Phillies flailed out and, you know, lost to the Diamondbacks. But the point is,
did you see the update tonight?
No,
it came out and said that going forward, Bryce Harper is their first baseman.
Oh, no, yeah,
they won't be pursuing Rhys Hoskins in free agency because from this day forward, Bryce Harper, the rest of that contract is probably going to be the Phillies' first baseman. So there wasn't even just a short term, fresh off Tommy John, they needed a place to put him last year. Like, that's it. That's his new position.
And
imagine him instead of Soup Brain Rizzo at first base, and then whoever else we're going to fill for the next decade, you could have had Harper there.
And then, I mean, this is another smaller one, but hey, look at that Rangers middle infield. Two guys you could have had, for big money, but I mean, Corey Seager, there's a guy who, like, people say, well, that contract, look at that swing, look at the year he just had. If Shohei Ohtani didn't exist, he's the MVP and the World Series MVP. I mean, the guy's an incredible player. Now he's a two-time World Series MVP. You know, like, it's like I said, it's upsetting. It's upsetting.
Sometimes
it's
you
just
spend money and you just worry about the ramifications. If you get one or two World Series in the first few years of an 8-year contract, when that contract looks really bad 6-7 years down the road, who gives a fuck? You won a couple titles out of it, and that's you take and you move on. We haven't won shit.
But like, that's what it just for me. It's so tough to watch the playoffs with the Yankees being in the state they're in, because you just look. There's every team has guys that the Yankees were either ex-Yankees or guys the Yankees could have or should have had. Well, it's tough. It really is. And like you said, then your GM. You watch these playoffs. Then the week or two later, your GM comes out and just brags about the operation you're running. You know, like, it's, you know, you as a fan, when you're, you know, whether it's a coach, whether it's a GM comes out, you want accountability. You know, like, I always, like, Alex would be giving me shit right now, but, you know, I'm a big FSU fan, and like, FSU had some dark years, and Mike Norvell, you know, who's the head coach, he never came out and said, oh, well, hey, the team fought hard, like, you know, well, yippee-doo. Like, he's like, hey, no, we suck. Like, hey, we started off 0-4 2 years ago. He said, hey, man, we got to be better. And we finished 5-3, and then we went 10-3 this year, and now, or last year, and now we're 9-0 this year. You know, he was accountable. He held himself accountable. He held the team accountable. And that goes a long way. And the Yankees do not hold themselves accountable at all. They're just like, oh, well, we went 82-80. Look, injuries. I'm like, dude, you guys did not have that many injuries. You really didn't, especially offensively. If like, because if you want to argue pitching they had injuries, fine. But they didn't affect you like you're trying to make them seem like it did. Like, you're pitching, you know, overall, I know your bullpen ERA was first. It's like you had the best bullpen ERA in baseball and the Cy Young winner. Like, you had pretty good pitch, pretty good. You know, and like, yeah, I said,
there was definitely stretches, right? Like, Cortez looked terrible when he was back on injury. Severino looked horrible.
Sevy was bad in practice for a month and a half. But overall, like, big picture-wise, you were still, like, top third of baseball pitching-wise.
Yeah, so, like, for sure.
So... yeah, really, other than Judge, and I mean, if you want to include Rizzo, fine. You really didn't have, like, look, every team has injuries. Like, the average team, you go into a year, like, your opening day lineup, like, on average, two or three of those guys are going to miss, like, half or most of the year. It's just what happens, right? It's the 162-game season. Guys,
Phillies went to Game 7 of the NLCS, losing their first baseman in spring training. Didn't play a single game for them all year.
Right. It's every team goes through it, so... yeah, I mean, any other thoughts, any other quotes you want we missed or want to dissect before we throw up? Because that, like I said, it was nauseating listening to, like I told you before the show, at first, you know, I was just, you know, seeing the clips on Twitter and just, you know, I saw like the Sonny Gray and Gallo quote about how, like, oh, sure, well, they were so bad, well, then why were they on playoff teams? It's like, dude, Joey Gallo didn't even play in the playoffs on that playoff team. Like, what?
Yeah, but you know what the other side of that coin that he completely ignored is? You look at a guy like Sonny Gray, who's going to finish runner-up or third to Gerrit Cole in the Cy Young this year. And then the question is, oh, you guys did acknowledge talent. You went out and you acquired talent. Why couldn't you get the performance that he was able to put up somewhere else? Yeah. When he was in-house. Yeah. Like, that's still a problem on you internally.
He's like bragging. He's like, oh, look how good he was over here. That's like trying to take credit for it. It's like
Frankie Montas would have been awesome if he was healthy, but you couldn't keep him healthy. You mishandled his rehab. You fucked up not having him get a shoulder surgery last year. Like, those are still your problems. It's not always baseball performance. There's way more to it.
That's the crazy thing with Sonny Gray. It's kind of like, oh, look how good he was over there. And it's like, dude, like, that's more of an indictment on you guys that he was so bad with us. And then he went somewhere else and he turns into a top three Cy Young guy. Like, don't you see what we're saying? Like, the, oh, God, that is like you said, like, you, it's like he is so far up his own ass. It's crazy. Like, it really, like, you're like, it's like, dude, are you, like, listening to yourself say these things?
Yeah, so part of me actually wonders if he's just putting on a front to make it seem like he's in full control so he doesn't leak any weakness. So, like, when he's negotiating this offseason with other GMs for trades or free agents, that he still is coming from a point of strength. Or if he, like, so one side of that would just be it's all a farce, right? It's just an act, whatever. The other could be that he's genuinely oblivious to his own faults, which is scary.
Yeah. That's obviously the worst scenario. It's like, all right, either this guy is like grossly incompetent or this guy is just like grossly like a huge a-hole, you know? Like, it's just like, all right, like, it's one or the other and neither is good.
Yeah. Like, you can misperform, but then lying and, like, trying to convince everyone, like hey,
like,
guys,
I said, be accountable. Like, you had your worst season in 30 years.
Just, like, own it. You're not going to get fired. Like, Howell clearly is not canning you. Just be like, hey, I know there was a couple quotes in there. It was like, yeah, baseball operations is on me. The performance of the team is on me. I accept that kind of thing. But then he immediately brushed that aside and came back with, you know, we're still a really fucking good organization. Yeah. Here's all the things that went wrong that we had bad luck on, that we would have been better if XYZ fell into place. Like, dude, enough.
The best
it was a really weird day that, like, collectively Yankees Twitter fans, you know, old and young in different locations, like people who live in the New York City metro area, people way out in the West Coast, obviously you down in Florida, like across the country, Yankee fans heard those quotes and were like, is this guy fucking serious?
No, like there was people, and I think, yeah, I think there's people, I think it was Talking Yanks who literally said that. They're like, yeah, like at first we saw that cat, we're pretty fucking good cat. Like, we thought it was a joke. Like, they like they were like, we didn't post it at first because we thought it was just a joke. Like, we thought someone was just trolling us. Like, there's no way.
Oh, I was convinced it was like The Onion or something like that, too.
Yeah. And like, even that, like, I was driving and someone, you know, someone sent it. Like, I had like two different people send it to me. And yeah, like, I just see the quote and like, I'm like,
That's funny.
Is this someone like one of these like Yankee meme pages that's just like, you know, is it like this some new fake Brian Cashman, like evil Brian Cashman, or whatever? But no, like, it was real. And yeah, like, it's funny because like, the YouTube video I watched, I think it was posted by a New York Post. So like, they had like the expletive, the curse word, the profanity bleeped out. And like, he had to have said bullshit like five times in the first 2 minutes. It was like, what? And the reporter was like, oh, what do you think was bullshit? They were like kind of playing it. And, you know, credit to like, I don't know, like who asked. Like, I saw Heyman there and I recognized a few other faces. But, you know, the reporters like were, you know, they asked good questions and rightfully so. Because at this point, like I've said that for years. I'm like, man, like, why can't like I would literally, you know, Venmo the person that just grilled Brian Cashman, that just lost their credentials, that just went all out and said, you know what, you're a disgrace, and just went in on him.
Yeah, I don't want to name names.
And I get why people don't want to do it. It's like, I'd want to keep my job too and my credentials
look,
too.
I'm not gonna name names, but there are certain people in the beat who had an agenda or a grift this year. So they tried to stay optimistic and didn't want to ask the other questions. And then a bunch of other people realized, hey, if I get the GM or the manager or the owner fired up in a quote and I start grilling them, that's good content for my page. I'll put it on my Twitter or TikTok. I'll put it in a newspaper article, whatever it may be, right? And so like people like, but The Athletic, for example, like they're really good. Like they don't give a shit, right? Like if they have a question, they're not holding back. That's what you need more of, honestly. And like they always say New York media is a tough market. Yeah.
Not to get like too deep into like, you know, journalism 101, but like really that's journalism. And it's like, really, like you mentioned, like, we don't want to go too into it, but it's like, hey, when you cover the team, your job is to cover the team and not write books and sell your book. Like, I hate to see, you know, like, come on, like, let's be real, especially in the midst of the team's worst season. And you're like, oh, hey, like, guess what? It's like, dude, we don't care. Like, cover.
No one wants to hear this right now.
Like,
ask the questions that we're mad about.
If we had won 3 World Series in the last 4 years. Okay. Yeah. Like, oh, buy this book about the dynasty. Yeah. We're in that mode. We are not in that mode. We're in the mode of like, please do something. And it's not like the reporter's jobs at the team for the team to be good. But like I said, at a certain point, you're right. Like these journalists, these reporters, it's like your job is to cover the team. And especially with the Yankees, especially in a year like this, really, these reporters, they should be asking this multi-billion dollar organization
difficult questions. Why are you not doing
play a World Series game since 2009? Right, like, it's, come on, that's the bare minimum they could do. So that's pretty much, I think, all we got tonight, Andrew. Like I said, I don't want to go too long with this. I mean, how long can we talk about Brian Cashman?
If we do any longer, I'm gonna throw up. But yeah, we can save all of our off-season content. We did a fun poll. We got some results on that. So thank you to all of our followers and listeners who participated in that. We'll talk some free agents in the next episode. We'll talk about some internal dilemmas, like what the Yankees are going to do with Glaber, what they're going to do with Anthony Rizzo. But that'll all be on the docket for our next episode.
Yeah, like I wanted to make the next step. This more of just the Brian Cashman episode, and the next episode will be more free agents. You know, like I said, technically free agency has started, right? You've seen, you know, certain guys declining their qualifying offers, certain guys kind of, you know, being told or being kind of indirectly told they're not coming back. So, you know, especially in the next couple of weeks, we're going to see things start to take place. Obviously, haven't heard anything significant with the Yankees other than, you know, the guys that are no longer on the roster, like Domingo and all those guys. So
Jimmy Cordero, we'll see. All the terrible personalities.
I was about to say, I was going to list them all, but I'm like, do we really need to do this?
No, we don't.
So for Luigi, for Andrew, this was the Bronx Bomber Battle Podcast, and we're pretty fucking good.